All right, it is Sunday morning, and we go back east and bring in Barry Bloom, senior writer of baseball and other sports as well, now writing for Forbes.com. Barry, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Marty?
Very good, very good. Ohtani, he doesn't get to pitch today. It's just too cold. Major League Baseball wanted the game played. They were desperate. But I guess 11-degree chill and 30-degree temperatures won out.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how weather is skewed the whole first 2 weeks of the season, first 3 weeks. It's the Yankees, I just saw, got double-headed out today. And about 3 out of 4 games of a Tiger series have to be rescheduled for June. So, I mean, the Yankees in particular, I mean, their opening day was snowed out at home. They had a rain-delayed game the next day. They had 14-inning games and 12-inning games against the Orioles. They just never seemed to be able to get everything straight. So I guess Ohtani's going to pitch on Tuesday night against the Red Sox.
Right, Tuesday night, and then the Giants don't get him next weekend, which is the big news here. Yankees living up to the hype. I know you're back east. You know, the Yankee-Red Sox thing, I know that was all over the news and, you know, the fights and all this stuff. Are the Yankees living up to their hype?
No. And, you know, in fact, you know, full disclosure, having grown up in the Bronx, I've always been a Yankee fan. And I wrote a piece for Forbes earlier in the week about this, that, you know, the Yankees just seemed to, like some other teams, decided that it was more important for them to duck under the salary cap threshold and reset on the tax than to really fill out the needs on this team. I mean, they went out and got Stanton, which they didn't need. They had enough hitting. And they have the same lackluster and porous kind of injury-prone starting pitching staff. And it just doesn't seem like Dylan Betances is ever going to get it right. And CeCe Sabathia is on the disabled list very, you know, very early already. So it's I have serious doubts about them this year because they just have too many holes.
Well, we'll see. The Mets are picking up the slack as well. Syndergaard today has got a no-hitter going to the fifth. Not a big deal. But the Mets, and you know, you're back there. And, of course, we always we're out in the western hinterland here. Are the Mets getting the back page coverage, or is it still Yankees?
Well, both teams are getting coverage, but the Mets are getting a tremendous amount of coverage. I mean, with their opening, you know, I thought that with their starting pitching all intact, I mean, they actually went through a five-man rotation for the first time in years where everyone was healthy last week. You know, they've had matchups that they've taken advantage of. I mean, really, there are just some teams in the league that, you know, you probably haven't seen some of them yet, but, you know, because, you know, you're in the time where, you know, the Giants are probably pretty much, and the A's are pretty much playing within division. You know, you'll get a couple of odd scheduled series here and there, but that's the way the first month normally is. But there are teams like the Marlins and the Rays, where you could basically 8 out of 10 times you're gonna put a game in a loss column before you even get started. And the Mets have taken advantage of that. They haven't had a tough opening schedule, and they beat up on the Nationals, which was really surprising, particularly in Washington. And the Nationals have struggled getting out of the gate. You know, the Braves are better than them. The Phillies have been better, and the Mets are certainly running away with the division right now. I mean, shortly, if you looked at the schedule today, and we always laugh about this, on how we make all these predictions coming out of spring training and then season starts. I mean, every division except the Red Sox in the National League East has a team ahead of it right now that you probably wouldn't have picked to start the season.
No, no question. Arizona, of course, you know, everyone picked the Dodgers. Pittsburgh, come on, are you kidding? And as you say, the right. Mets, the Angels are the hottest team in baseball. Minnesota, and as you said, the Red Sox, 12-2. You could throw the Reds in there, too, as another team that really falling apart. All right, Barry Bloom is with us. You can read him at Forbes.com. We talked a lot about Jackie Robinson today, and I know you're a New Yorker as well. You grew up there. I'm interested in your take on the legacy of Jackie Robinson today. and what he means to people today in light of what's going on in sports and especially in the news and baseball?
Well, I'll tell you what, and I don't give credit to commissioners very often about things, but I think that Bud Selig single-handedly put Jackie Robinson back on the map in Major League Baseball. And he did that by marking his 50th anniversary of coming out on the field and retiring his number throughout baseball and making this a big deal every time it comes around. And it educated young kids. It educated young players who didn't know what was going on. I mean, if you think back on it, his 25th anniversary, which was right before he died, Bowie Kuhn at the time didn't even acknowledge it.
Yeah.
So, and then by the end of that season, right after the World Series, he was dead. And then it took another 25 years for baseball to recognize it. And it was Selig who did it, and he put it on the map. And I think he's as important as any figure in civil rights history today. As you know, he's up there with Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, if you want to put him up there. Anyone who's been a figure, he's a father figure, I think, to most people. And you know, we can go on and on about this, but I mean, baseball, even though it was late to integrate for baseball, it was very early to integrate in terms of education around the reintegration around the rest of the country. I mean, the military integrated after Jackie Robinson broke the color line. Baseball broke the color line. So did the Board of Education. The famous Brandeis Board of Education was afterwards. You know, it led the way, and I think it's a momentous day every time it comes around.
Very good. No, I love it, and it's funny just watching some of the games on the monitor as you and I are talking. And I'm watching the Met game to my right, and they're playing the Brewers, and everybody's wearing 42. Isn't it funny? Everybody's wearing 42. And, you know, I was looking at it, and I think they should put Jackie's name above that 42.
I think, you know, first of all, you know, the story on the 42 is a great one, too. This was, you know, Junior Griffey, who right. went to Bud and asked if he could wear it on that particular day. Bud gave him the dispensation to do it. He did it. And then it spread to the point where voluntarily Holtz started to do it in the next year or two. And then it became commonplace around baseball. And I think to a certain degree, I don't disagree with you, but they didn't have names on jerseys when Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier. So the 42, it basically symbolizes the day that he broke in.
I know. It just, I understand. I'm going to be a lawyer and just say, well, I just think it helps explain why 42 is being worn by a lot of people who probably come to the game and say, hey, everybody's wearing 42. What's going on here? And so I thought just to be another way of explaining it. But we'll see. Thank God they do it and that we can talk about it. And it is a very important part of history. A pleasure having you on. The Diamondbacks are still going well. The Giants go there on Tuesday. Taijuan Walker went on the DL today. I know you're not in the West right now, but the Dodgers, when you look at the standings, guess who's in last place in the West? The bums from Brooklyn.
Right. This is why, you know, my good friend Brett Black always says it's why you play the games. And, you know, the Dodgers have had, you know, their injuries. They don't have as deep a pitching staff. I'm sure it'll straighten out as the season goes on because they're too talented. You know, but the Diamondbacks, what have they won? Something like 11 in a row of the Dodgers right now.
Yeah, the Dodger franchise has lost to one team in a row since they've been in Los Angeles.
But let's also put in the glitch that the Diamondbacks were swept by the Dodgers in the NLDS last year.
Yes,
and weren't even in the series.
Oh,
so there was that gap there, you know. But we're talking about regular season games. It is pretty amazing the sudden dominance that the Diamondbacks have had on the Dodgers and against the Giants, too. I mean, they did very well against the Giants last year. And they're kind of the Giants season started off, if you remember that crazy opening day that, you know, Bumgarner pitched well and Melanson blew the game. And the Giants got off on a bad footing and never seemed to recoup. And the Diamondbacks got off on a year that nobody expected them to have. I mean, I would say, for my money, the Mike Hazen, Torrey Lovello use of sabermetrics and how to integrate it and use people and get the right people in positions to react. It's one of the best I've seen. And they get people in there. They'll find somebody to replace Taijuan Walker from the minor leagues who's going to fill in very well for them. Everybody rises to the occasion there, and I've seen it a lot over the last 2 years. So it doesn't surprise me how well the Diamondbacks are doing.
All right. Well, have a good week. We'll talk to you next week. No Ohtani for the Giants next week, but we'll look forward to having you on as always. Thanks, Barry.
Okay, anytime, Marty. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Barry Bloom, Forbes.com. More coming up, KMBR 680, the sports leader.